Hello, everybody. Today's chapter is Esther chapter 6. On that night, the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of the memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, and who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor or distinction has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this?" The king's young men who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's young men told him, "Haman is there, standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom would the king delight to honor more than me?" And Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse, and he dressed Mordecai and led him through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." While they were yet talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried to bring Haman to the feast that Esther had prepared. We just read chapter 6 of 10 in the book of Esther, and I think we can say that this is a turning point in the book. In the previous chapter, Esther showed great courage by going into the king's presence without being summoned first, and there are signs of hope because the king extended his golden scepter to her and accepted her request for a feast the next day. However, at the end of the last chapter, Haman prepared a gallows 50 cubits high and intended to ask the king in the morning for permission to hang Mordecai on it. And now in this chapter, we reach a turning point because all of Haman's sinister plans begin to be foiled. Although God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, it's really clear that he orchestrates the incredible events that unfold here. Either that or it's coincidence after coincidence. But as believers of God, we attribute it all to him. Let's look at a few of the out-of-the-ordinary events that God orchestrates. First, in verse 1, on that night, the king could not sleep. Now, we don't have data on the king's sleeping patterns, but we can assume that he probably slept really well most nights. From chapter 1 of the book, we know King Ahasuerus is reigning over the Persian Empire at the height of its powers. He is so extremely rich that he showed off the greatness of his empire for 180 days, and he held an extravagant feast for even more days after that. He likely had the nicest bed in the nicest room in the world at the time. Yet, on that night, he could not sleep. And what does he ask for on his sleepless night, but that the Book of Memorable Deeds be read to him? And what part is to be read to him, but the exact part about Mordecai thwarting the attempt to lay hands on the king? Finding this account on the king's sleepless night, right before Haman was about to ask him to hang Mordecai, can only be the work of God. And the second incredible event that God orchestrates is that the king catches Haman at the exact right time. After learning that nothing has been done to reward Mordecai for saving his life, the king asks in verse 4, who is in the court? And verse 4 tells us, now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king is eager to reward Mordecai, so he wants whatever court official is nearby to help him to do this. And it's so timely and ironic how the scene unfolds, with Haman thinking that the king is talking about him. Haman is at the peak of his pride and self-centeredness. He names all the ways he thinks that he will be honored. When the king bursts his bubble and says, hurry, take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have mentioned. Haman has to do as the king says, which is the complete opposite of his plans. And humiliated, Haman's wise men and his wife say to him, basically, yeah, given what just happened, this looks like the beginning of the end for you. Again, although God isn't named in this book, it's clear that he has orchestrated these events at just the right time to thwart Haman and to save Mordecai. We'll read even more reversals for good that God brings about in the rest of the book. For today, can we reflect on how this is the same God that we have a relationship with? What we just read isn't part of a fictional story where the good guys win in a dramatic way. The amazing thing is that this actually happened centuries ago. And even more amazing than that is that this is just a fraction of what God has done in human history. The ultimate reversal and victory against all odds, of course, was that God himself would come to earth as a man in the form of Jesus, live the perfect life, die the death we deserved, and rise in 3 days. This chapter in the Bible, and all of the Bible, tells us that God works in amazing ways in our lives. He orchestrates event after event in our lives to save his people and to bring himself glory. I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Perhaps we can pause a moment today and think about the various events in our lives that we've seen God orchestrate for good. Maybe even events that started off looking like terrible moments until later on. As we reflect on how we have a relationship with this God, let's respond in thankfulness and surrender. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing story. And this is just one part of the story of Esther, and that's just one part of your story throughout human history of how you come and intervene, God, and you you work all things for your good, for the people who love you. And Lord, we pray that we would not forget your faithfulness in our lives, but God, we remember how you have orchestrated event after event in our lives as well, God, to bring us to you. And I pray that that would just stir up even greater surrender, even greater faith in our lives. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.